Welcome back to the Pastor's Pregame Podcast, where you usually hear the Christ Fellowship preaching team getting ready for Sunday morning. But this is a special edition. Instead of hearing from Bruce, Jaime, and Mark, you'll be hearing from our special guest speaker for this Sunday, Riley Halliday, Senior Pastor of Manna Church in Newport News, Virginia. He's here as part of our Neighbors and Nations Missions Focus. He's got an amazing message planned, and he'll preview it for us. But first, you're going to hear from our own Rafe Wright, our adult ministries pastor who oversees Christ Fellowship's missions. I'm still your host and women's pastor, Lisa Scheffler, and I'm so excited for you to hear this episode. I think you'll be so encouraged to hear what God is doing in and through Christ Fellowship to bless our neighbors and the nations. And here we go. I'm excited for this episode, everybody. I think you're going to love hearing from both Rafe Wright, our missions pastor, and from Riley Halliday, our special guest speaker for this Sunday. Now, if you don't know Rafe, Rafe has been at the church almost since its very beginning, and he's going to be sharing with you a little bit about what we do as Christ Fellowship to reach out to our neighbors and the nations. He's also going to help you see how you could get involved. I know a lot of us hesitate a little bit when it comes to missions. We tend to think that's something we leave for the professionals, but Rafe is going to encourage you that that's not the case. We are all called to be on mission for Jesus Christ in this world, and you can always participate by praying, by funding, and by going yourself. So Rafe, let's kick it off with you. Tell us a little bit about how you developed a passion for missions.
Well, Lisa, my story is one of those where you learn what to not tell God you're not going to do. Well, I was at Dallas Theological Seminary. Every year in the spring, they have Missions Week. And so all classes are canceled, and the focus is on missions. They bring in missionaries and mission speakers, and chapel has a highlight on missions all week. So no school, it's wall-to-wall missions. And you're to engulf and to enrich yourself in the experience and to learning this great commission mindset. And maybe God has a call on your life to engage in missions. And so what did I do? I stayed home the whole week, every year, working on exegetical papers. I attended not one missions focus event. I was in seminary for 6 years. Yes, I took the long slow boat tour through. And so 6 years, 5 days, 30 missions days, not one for me. Because I thought, you know, I don't know what I'm going to do with this education. Maybe I'll do something in the church, but I know I'm not going to be a missionary. So then come to Christ Fellowship. And a year into being here, the person who was serving as the missions and children's pastor, Dutch Thompson, left the church, went into the corporate world, thought he could be used more strategically there to impact the gospel. And Bruce came to me and said, you know, Rafe, you and Lori don't have kids. You're the only one on staff that doesn't have kids. So it just seemed logical that you would be able to travel and do missions. Could you take the missions department or missions area of Christ Fellowship? At that time, it was McKinney Fellowship Bible Church. And I said, okay, sure.
Whatever that means.
So you know, I developed a passion and a heart for missions by doing it.
Yeah. And that's so true of so many of us. We sit around waiting for some sort of divine intervention, like some sort of, you know, message from God about what we should do. And a lot of times we just need to go do something.
Yeah. But what I've stopped doing is telling God what I'm not going to do.
Yeah. Amen. All right. Well, you, like I said, you've been here for 25 years since the very beginning. And I know you've gone on so many missions trips. You've been involved in so many missions opportunities here locally, in the nation, and globally. Is there any stories that stand out to you? Something that you really saw God work or God move in a way that just really blew your mind?
Well, man, I have a list of them, and I know we don't have time for all of them. So I'm going to kind of hit a couple of high points, and maybe I'll try to zero in on a story or two. So, you know, I talk about when I share about mission trips, I tell people it is the opportunity to go on a water walking adventure with the living God. Mm-hmm. You know, Peter is the only mere human who by faith stepped out of the boat and he walked on water with Jesus. We have that opportunity to do that not only abroad, but right here at home. So It's a discipleship boot camp. So when people go on a mission trip, the trip doesn't start when they get on that super shuttle or on the plane or on the bus. The trip starts the moment they think they have an interest in it. Okay, God's prodding that interest in their heart. And so immediately spiritual warfare starts, opportunities to overcome and to grow. And so from that time till the trip ends is a boot camp in discipleship where God is taking you on a journey to grow you, to mature you, to develop perseverance, to develop trust and loyalty and grow your faith. So it happens to everyone who goes on a mission trip. But it also happens to the people we go to serve. Mm-hmm. And over the years, we've had a significant ministry both in Asia. We started in 2002. Let me just tell you some of the things we did. We started underground. We were in a closed country context, so we had four underground Bible schools. We graduated hundreds of students who are now leading house churches in that country. We did pastor training. Not only that, we've done sports camps. We have done ESL trips, sent hundreds of people to this country where they had really a life-changing experience. On one trip, I took my wife. And she thought she was just going to go and kind of carry my books and my bag and help me. And she was, you know, not thinking too much about God asking her to do anything. She was going to be my partner in a classroom. And when we got there, they said, okay, we've got way more students and teachers for this ESL trip than we thought. So we need to divide everybody up. Everybody will have their own classroom. She was scared to death. But it impacted her so greatly that God would use her, even her. And because of that trip, my wife decided we would adopt. And so that's how our boys, Jacob and Micah, came to us. It was, wow, if God can use her to do that. And we had been talking on and off about adoption for many years. So we decided to put it down and adopt. But our time in Uganda, we started in 2006, and we have 39 churches that we have planted who have 26 daughter and granddaughter churches with an estimated, I don't know, 8,300 plus adults who attend those churches, but they don't count kids. So if you add around 8,000 kids, you've got about 16,000 people attending churches. Wow. Because of our 10 years of church plant trips. But we also did medical, dental, vision clinics, saw over 12,000 patients during those 10 years, those once-a-year trips, and did VBS. We would count the people who would come to the Gospel Crusades at night. We would get their name. We would enroll them with our partner church in training, Bible training immediately, put them in Bible schools. Their pastors would begin meeting with them and training them. So, and these were Muslim communities that we would target and go into. So for people to raise their hand, give you their contact information is a big deal. We had a record of over 10,000 conversions in 10 years.
Wow.
And so, you know, when people raise a hand, they walk down an aisle, oftentimes it's an emotional experience. And you think, okay, you know, only God knows. Many of them aren't real. And so we posed that to the pastor, Pastor Mukumbi Johnson, and said, okay, is this kind of like back home that, you know, maybe it's 1%, 3%, 5%? He said, oh, no. He said, this is a life and death decision for these people.
Wow.
Their families will cut them off. They will be cast out. If they give us their name, it's real.
Wow. Wow, Rafe, that's so cool. All the things you witnessed, and then all the people here at Christ Fellowship that you've been able to equip and train and help and encourage to go out. I went on a trip to Guatemala several years ago, and it really was life-changing. There's just no substitute for actually going and doing and seeing and experiencing. And I think oftentimes, I mean, I hope the people that I met and interacted with benefited, but I know I benefited probably far more just from the opportunity to be with these people in other parts of the world. I mean, Rafe and I would definitely encourage you, if you've never been on a short-term mission trip, it is so worth it. It is so worth it. Don't let all those obstacles that start flying in your mind, the all the, well, why that's not possible, or I could never, overcome those. Come listen and hear and learn about what we've got going on. And speaking of that, Rafe, I know we've been in a kind of a COVID shutdown for a couple, almost 2 years now, but I know you guys were able to do one trip and you've got some more planned for 2022. You want to tell people a little bit about that while we're on the subject?
You bet. And I would just say this Sunday, right after second service, is the all the short-term mission trip info meetings for all of 2022. And I'm going to talk about the three things that keep people from going on a trip. And it's the same three things year after year after year.
We think we're so original, but we all are the same.
Oh, no. Our excuses are all the same. And you know what? God can overcome every one of them. And then once people do go, they're hooked.
They are
hooked.
They
go again and again and again, sometimes to the same place, sometimes to different places. So coming up in 2022, you know, one of the things that's unique about Christ Fellowship is we are one church, two languages. So we do many of our mission trips in Hispanic culture, Spanish-speaking cultures. We have a trip to the Dominican Republic that will go in June. During spring break, we try to provide a unique family experience. So Guatemala is our spring break whole family mission trip. I've had as many as 53 people on that trip from 4 years of age to 74, and they were on the same trip. We will also be going to Guadalajara, Mexico, and that is a trip open to, I believe, 15 or 16. It's on our website, 16 and above, so that's a spring break trip. We are going to be, we did the Prague, Czech Republic trip a few weeks ago in October. Well, we just got a commitment to be able to do it again next year, and I'm going to try to infuse worship and music ministry into the ESL. We had such a great time in the high school working with these kids before we Prague and the nation of Czech Republic is 99.something% atheist. We were told these people are cold, they're distant, they won't look at you, they won't talk to you. You know, don't be discouraged if you feel like you're having no impact. Oh my goodness, it was just the opposite. The kids, the high school students, were so warm and welcoming and wanting to hug and bring gifts every day and open to anything we did, and we shared the gospel daily. We had opportunity to do ministry in the evenings with college students. Same thing. They were, you know, we're open. Yes, we're atheists, but we're open. What do you have to say? The teachers of the schools, we did ministry with them. Now, in that country, they're very proud of their beer. It's their heritage. So a lot of the ministry at night was in pubs. And so as we think about trying to infuse music ministry and worship, we may be able to host some concerts in some of those outings and maybe community outreaches. They love their beer gardens. So we'll do those things in the evening and then the ministry with the high school students during the day. One that I'm really excited about is the partnership with East West Ministry. So it is those medical backpacks. The impact trips, backpack trips, what is particularly exciting to me about this is we are training and equipping, but we're not doing the hands-on ministry. So one of our values is to empower people, but not to be paternalistic.
Right.
And so we get trained here in our church how to use these medical backpacks. Then we fly to the designated country, and there's 12 of them that they routinely go to, so there's plenty to choose from. This year, in the summer, it's going to be New Guinea, West Africa in June, Sri Lanka in July, and Bangladesh in August. I'm going to target the July trip as a Christ Fellowship group trip, but once you're trained to use a medical backpack, you can go to any of these exotic destinations, any one of them you choose. So we fly over, and then we're going to train indigenous national church planters and evangelists how to use the backpack. Then they will take those backpacks and go into restricted, remote areas that even they couldn't get into without the medical backpack. Because they're Christians, and these are Muslim communities.
Right.
They have no access,
right?
But this backpack allows them to go in because of the life-saving technology that they bring with them. So I'm excited about that, and we'll be doing a training on December 4 and 5, and once trained, the world opens up to you for your favorite destination.
Wow, that's so exciting. These are such exciting trips. I'm so glad the world is opening back up so we can go places again. And again, I could say this over and over again. If you have not ever done a short-term mission trip, this is your opportunity. Come to the meeting after second service on Sunday.
1245 up in the attic, room 220.
And hear all about it. Start praying about it. And don't let those obstacles of time and money and
the
fear,
yeah,
all the stuff that we let cloud it. Just go. You can raise the money. You can do it. You can make the time. God may be calling you to a specific place this year in 2022. And if it sounds like we're trying to sell you something, we're not. We're just really excited. And we want you to benefit from this.
You know, Lisa, the way I say it this way, one day we're all going to be in glory. And we're going to be hanging out at the corner of Praise Boulevard and Hallelujah Avenue. And the Apostle Paul's going to be out there telling his stories, and the prophets will be out there telling theirs. What story are you going to tell?
Yeah.
You go on a short-term mission trip, that'll be the story you tell.
Yep. You should do it. Do it. Do it. Okay. Well, that's some good information about sort of what we're trying to do internationally and the ministries we're involved in. But what about here locally? We all know there are a lot of needs right here in our own backyards, right here in Collin County and the surrounding counties, and that we have a lot of great ministry partners. So tell us a little bit, Rafe, about some of the ministry partners we have. How did we form relationships with them? What sort of things do you guys look for when you're considering who we're going to partner with? And let's talk a little bit about what we're doing locally.
All right. Well, it's very organic. Sometimes they approach us first, and then we build a relationship, get to know about their ministry. Sometimes most of the time, it's a face-to-face meeting. We hear about their mission and vision. We look to see what they're doing. Are they reputable? Are they credible? Is it something where any funds are accountable? We look at the impact of their ministry, and then if it's something that kind of passes the test on all those things, we choose to partner with them. We do it financially, which that money comes from that annual missions fund offering that we're going to be taking this weekend. But we also do it by giving access to our church members, volunteers, and we encourage our people to get invested personally in a ministry that fits a calling God's put on their heart. So we have a breadth of ministry partners. Others, you know, we approach them and we reach out to them. But it's something where we meet with them, we talk to them, we see if there's a fit for Christ Fellowship and our DNA, and we also just want to be a blessing to our community.
Right.
One of the things we do look at is, okay, are they creating dependency? Or are they empowering people? Many years, 5 years or 6 years ago, we went through When Helping Hurts, and we brought in, did the conference, and we brought in the filmmaker for Poverty Inc., and we made a major shift in looking at things that we had done in the past that maybe weren't the best. Now what we're looking through the lens, are we working with people who are empowering people so that they can be self-sufficient using their gifts and abilities, their creative capacity? Because God made all of us with the ability to stand on our own 2 feet. But sometimes we need someone to come alongside of us to help us, but not to disempower us.
Yeah. And I think you made such a good point about us not being paternalistic. We don't want to be, you know, the people that we minister to, they may be without resources or they may be in some sort of situation at the moment, but they are still someone with dignity, value, and worth, and someone that we can learn from as well. I've learned so much from the people I've ministered to. They have something to share with us, and it's a relationship. It's that beautiful relationship that God creates between us.
Yeah, one simple thing to do is just say, okay, is this a crisis situation
where
people are in over their heads and they need a life raft where I throw it to them?
Yeah.
Or is this a chronic situation where I invite them into a better way?
Yeah, that's a great way to stay. I mean, we want to meet people at the crisis, right? If someone's
getting
evicted.
Yeah, when someone's in a crisis, you know, it's kind of like in Galatians, it says that everyone should kind of carry their own load. But then there are times we need to help one another with their
load. Bear each other's burdens.
The burden, yeah. Sometimes the burden is a backpack. Well, everybody should carry their own backpack. Sometimes the burden is a boulder. People need a help with a boulder.
Yeah.
And so with a crisis, we jump in and help. With chronic, we say, you know what? God's called you to something better than that, and you're really able, and I'll walk with you to as you discover how you actually can do this. God's given you the ability to manage these things.
Yeah. And we have so many great partners. They're all listed on the website. If you go to the Christ Fellowship website, and you've been seeing some of them highlighted on Sunday mornings recently and then at our fair. But we've got ministries that work specifically with women, with domestic abuse, with women in unplanned pregnancies. There's the Hope Clinic, which provides
Hope Women's Resource Center and Hope Clinic. The Hope Clinic is free medical care who do not have insurance or capacity to pay.
Yeah, fantastic ministry, doing tremendously good work. And so many more. The food bank here in town, we've partnered with
Community Food Pantry and the Little Food Pantry, which is dispersed into 11 or 12 food pantries around the community.
Yeah, and so what we're hoping that people will do this Sunday is help fund these partnerships and the things that we can do with this partnership, right, Rafe? So last year we took an offering about this time last year. And so what were some of the fruit of that offering that you saw over the past year? What were you able to do with those funds that maybe we wouldn't have been able to do if people hadn't been generous?
Sure. So in that offering last year, it came in at right at around $200,000. And so without boring you with a long list of how every dollar was spent,
sure.
about 15% of that went to our Christ Fellowship Global Workers. Now, at Christ Fellowship, we have a value. We support our own. That 15% is a very small amount when you divide it up among two dozen global workers.
Yeah.
So it's not enough for them to live on and do ministry on. So we encourage everyone at Christ Fellowship to find just one Christ Fellowship Global Worker. You can find it on our website and get behind them financially and support them. And each Global Worker, their goal is to have 100 people who provide a little bit of support,
yeah,
but then they're also praying for them, and it's a network of support. Lori and I support multiple Global Workers along, you know, with other things that we do outside of the missions fund itself. Then local outreaches. Those are things like our Christmas Care Angel, our Raise Your Hand, various things we do throughout the year. About 40% of the dollars that were given in the offering last year have been invested in the local community. Our partners, those are both local and national, received about 30% of that $200,000, or around $60,000. And then there's a miscellaneous, like, smattering of all different types of things that made up the other 15%. And of course, some of those funds will still be being spent from now till the end of December.
Yeah.
So our goal for next year is to go way over that $200,000 for last year. We would love to expand, to be able to do more things locally, to be able to have more with national church planting partners. We've made a shift. In the past, we would plant a church out of Christ Fellowship, the sole church planter. And so all the cost and all the funding and all the responsibility and all the risk,
yeah,
and the resource was on us. Okay, now we've made a change. What we're doing through partnerships. So we're connecting with national organizations who vet church planters, who have they flip the script on success and a viability of ongoing church plants. The national average is 10% succeed, 90% fail. These two organizations that we're partnering with have a 90% success rate and 10% fail.
Mm-hmm.
So we're using them as vetting. And then think about a mutual fund. You don't invest in one stock. You invest in a mutual fund that invests in hundreds of stocks. Okay, well, it's the reverse of that. A church planter then gets multiple churches to invest in his church plant. So each church has a little bit to invest. But the church planter has a breadth of wisdom, a breadth of partners, a breadth of people resources. And so that way it lowers the risk, increases the likelihood of success. So that's what we're doing nationally. And currently our international church partners, we have our team in Asia that we sent lots of supplies to when the COVID broke out.
Remember, you know, that? We
Yes.
Guys, if you could see the impact these dollars have in the lives of people right here in our community, nationwide, and of course, globally, you would feel really good about the money that you're giving. So please be praying about what you want to give to the mission fund. Like Rafe said, wouldn't it be cool if we could double it?
Oh, that'd be awesome.
Rafe is just over here salivating at the idea of all the people we could help and all the people we could reach for Christ if we had double the resources. So pray about it. Talk to your spouse if you're married. Really think about it and prepare to give to our offering this year. This will fund all the missions work that Rafe does and his team all year throughout 2022. Also, don't forget that mission trip meeting this Sunday after second service, 12:45. And this has been great. We hope you've enjoyed getting to know a little bit about what Christ Fellowship is doing to reach people around the world, what you're doing as part of Christ Fellowship. So please pray for Riley. You'll hear from him in a little bit about some of his prayer requests. Also pray for the missions offering. And Rafe, thanks so much for joining us today. Come back again.
Thanks, Lisa. I really had a great time. I'd love to come back again.
Well, good. We'd love to have you back. Okay, everybody. We are now here with Riley Halliday. Rafe, why don't you tell us a little bit about Riley and introduce him?
Well, Lisa, Riley Halliday is a Christ Fellowship National Church Plant Partner. He has just launched his church, Manna Church, in Newport News, Virginia, and we have entered into what we hope is a three-year commitment with him as he launches and gets his footing in his church plant. And so I'm excited to introduce you to our speaker this coming weekend and our church plant partner, Riley Halliday.
Well, thanks, Rafe. It's such a joy to be with the Christ Fellowship family again. I'm definitely looking forward to this weekend and excited to share right now on this podcast. So for the listeners out there, just like Rafe shared, my name is Riley. I'm a church planter. And as of September the 19th of this year, 2020, right in the 20-month pandemic, I'm the lead pastor of Manna Church in Newport News, Virginia. And we've seen God just do some amazing things. We started with a launch team of about 70 people. From there, we began to seek partnerships. And again, I'm just thankful to Pastor Bruce, to you, Rafe, for Christ Fellowship, really getting behind the dream that God put on our heart. And you guys have been praying with us. You've given towards what we're doing. And I'm even talking to your students' teams right now about, hey, what does a potential mission trip look like
for
you guys to come out here? Yeah, it's fun. I'm thrilled to be a part of what God is doing to reach lost people here in the Tidewater region of Virginia. So a little bit about our church. I was on staff at another church, and that church sent me to plant. Our strategy is really following military installations. And what's strategic about where we're located in Virginia is we're right next to the largest naval station on the planet, right there in Norfolk in the Chesapeake Bay of the Hamptons Road. So it's really exciting. A lot of historical context there. We have Fort Eustis, which is an Army base. A lot of logistics are quarterbacked from that location. And then we have Langley, which is the original home of NASA. But also me being a Air Force veteran, you know, they just kind of got my heart being right next to an Air Force base. So that's where we are. We launched on September 19th. We saw 224 people show up. And to date, we have about 294 people within our church community. Obviously, there's different levels of engagement there. But it's really exciting to see what God's been doing. And so far, 11 people have already made decisions to follow Jesus for the rest of their days. And we got to baptize two of them last weekend. So just a phenomenal journey. I'm blown away by what God is doing. There's challenges, but it is a joy. It is an absolute joy. So thanks for having me on the podcast.
That's great, Riley. So 290, you said, or that's what you're averaging every week. That's amazing.
Well, about our attendance. Our attendance is probably around 200. You know, down depending on the week. But we have
and
a database.
We're still in the COVID times, so.
Yes, and that's so interesting. So we've been getting guests, like first-time guests, every weekend. There are people who've been watching us online for 4 weeks and came and said, "No, we feel like we need to be a part of this." So they showed up in person. Some people wearing masks, some people not wearing masks. Again, we let people just kind of follow their own personal convictions and their comfort levels. And God's been working, and we're just blown away.
That's awesome. That's so exciting. So tell me a little bit about you, though. How did you become a church planting pastor? I know you said you were launched from a church, but talk a little bit about how God called you to that kind of ministry, because that takes a certain kind of personality and a certain kind of calling to go out there and plant a church.
Absolutely. I think it was something that, as I look back over my life, I think it was what God had planned all along. You know, He's kind of sovereign like that. And I just think about some experiences and things I've gone through in my life. I think that entrepreneurial, kind of that make something out of nothing, go-getter mentality, that was kind of the way I was wired. And I saw a lot of that play out through my military career.
Mm-hmm.
And obviously in the military, you move around a lot. You parachute into a location. You don't have any friends. So what do? You go make some friends. You go establish your life. So I felt like Uncle Sam had kind of conditioned me for that. But after 11 years on active duty, being a part of our church in Fayetteville, North Carolina, I really felt God was leading me into vocational ministry. And honestly, I thought that would look like military chaplaincy. So I just began to sharpen my skills, go get my divinity degree. One thing led to another. I'm a pastor on staff. And just through some opportunities, through conversations, and the vision of our sending church to plant more churches, I was kind of identified. They were like, Riley, we believe you can do this.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't something that I was like, all right, yeah, I want to. It was more of a, all right, God, I'm submitted. Like, if this is what you're doing with my life, then so be it. And obviously, my wife, Tasha, again, shout out to her. I'm going to tell her about this podcast so she can listen to it. Yeah, we had a lot of conversations, and we really both just felt like this is what God was doing through it.
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely a couple's thing, right? You can't, you got to be united in this because it takes a
team. Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. And yeah, people understand that if you get me, you get her. She wears the weight of lead pastor just as much as I do. And it's just been cool to see her step into that role, developing teams, discipling ladies. She's kind of overseeing our kids ministry within the church right now, too. So it's cool. It really is.
Yeah, you have to wear a lot of hats when you're a church planter, right?
Oh, yeah. Yep.
Yeah. So
yes, indeed.
Well, that's great. And I love it that you were in the military and now you're ministering to military families, because that's probably something that you can really relate to and connect with. Because I'm sure they have needs, and they need the assurance of Christ as much as any of us do, but maybe even a little more, and especially in times where they're being called out to go into dangerous situations.
Absolutely. Yeah, I even think about Peter in Scripture, where one of the first people Jesus sent him to was to Cornelius, a military member, you know. So that's just kind of just a heart that I have for our military members. I think God wants to use them. A testimony that, yeah, he'll surprise you once he begins to reveal his calling over your life. So.
Yeah, that's awesome. I was just in San Diego last weekend, so I took a tour of the USS Midway, and so the Navy's kind of on my mind right now. So I'm just thinking about the service and sacrifice of our people in armed forces. That's quite a commitment they make, and we appreciate that. Okay,
absolutely.
So this weekend you're going to be giving the sermon here. You're talking to me now from another part of the country, but you're going to be here soon.
Yes.
And can you give us a little sneak peek about what you're going to be sharing with us? Don't give away everything, because we want people to come hear the whole thing. But can you tell us a little bit about what you're going to be preaching on? You're going to be talking to us from Revelation, which is always exciting.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I think that's always a good clickbait for people.
So you're going to tell us exactly when Jesus is coming back, right? You're going to lay it all
out on
a graph.
We'll have charts and math. It'll be great. It'll be great. Don't miss it. Just kidding.
Kidding.
I do believe that the Bible is pretty clear about when that day will come, when the gospel is preached to every people group. And that's really what I want to share from this text. I want to zoom in to a particular moment in Revelation where John's getting this prophetic vision of the throne in heaven. And he looks around, he sees a great multitude from every tribe, every nation, every tongue, every people group. And they're all worshiping our Savior. That's what I want to share. And really what you guys are doing through your missions event, rallying all your ministry partners, rallying Christ Fellowship around the mission of Jesus. That's what it's about. It's about that moment when there's a number that no man can number, and we're there worshiping God.
Mm-hmm.
So the theme of the message is every. And I want that to really be something that we all can rally behind as a local church, as a global church, as our network of ministry partners. But our mission is to reach every person that Christ died for with the good news of the gospel. So, I'm starting to get fired up already. I'm tempted to preach it, but I won't. But that is the idea of looking at Revelation chapter 7 this weekend.
Well, yeah, and Rafe and I are just talking about just all the different ministries that are out there doing just incredible work, and how part of what we're called to do is support through our prayers and through sending, and then also going when the Lord calls us. So tell us a little bit, Riley, about what kind of challenges are you facing? I want our people to pray for you and your church. So what can we pray for you about?
Yeah, obviously, it takes reached people to reach people. So it's nice to have Christians. And I think when you church plant, you'll engage a lot of unchurched people. But then as you begin to do that, you got to go through the process of discipling. So we're really believing that God is going to, again, just allow us to have some grace, some influence. Again, our model is military. So maybe some people who know our church from one city may come to this city and be a part of what we're doing. Mm-hmm. But we're really looking for more reached people to further our reach, to help us actually disciple, to develop our small groups culture. That way everyone finds a smaller community. That way church isn't just an event on a weekend, but it's actually a way of life, doing life in community. So that's probably my biggest prayer request. And then personally, just for my wife and I love the phrase, it's not the work, it's the weight. And so stepping into, again, we're young, we're in our mid-30s, but being senior pastor, that's just a different level of spiritual warfare.
Absolutely.
We're here to storm the gates of hell. And when you do that, you get some pushback.
Yes.
But the good news is we've already won. We're here celebrating a victory lap. And, I know with the Christ Fellowship family, with Pastor Bruce, with Tammy praying for us, I can't wait to spike the ball in the end zone. You know?
Yes, and I'll be together, right, around that throne in
Revelation
7.
Come on.
That's what we're looking forward to. But we want to bring as many people along with us.
That's
We don't want it to be a select group. We want everybody who believes in the Lord, who has a chance to believe in the Lord Jesus.
Yes,
and
ma'am.
To worship him. And so, Riley, I'm so excited for what you guys are doing. I just love your heart for the people of that community. And I'm so excited to hear how God has already moved. And I just know he's going to continue to do so. So we're excited to see you on Sunday. Excited to hear you preach the word and just to get to talk to you and get to know you a little bit. So I look forward to meeting you in person.
Lovely. Can't wait. Thank you so much.
All right. Well, we really appreciate you. Thanks for taking the time to talk to us.
Absolutely. Bless you guys.
All right. Bye-bye. All right, guys. Well, thanks for listening to this special edition of the Pastor's Pregame Podcast. Next week, we'll be back with our Thanksgiving episode. I'm going to get all the guys to come and tell you a little bit about what they're grateful for. Then we're going to take a week off for actual Thanksgiving, and then we'll be back with a brand new series right after that. So thanks again. Bye-bye.